Well, good morning. Hey, it's a treat to be with y'all today. I want to say a word of thanks to Trinity for being a mission partner with Wesley Foundation at State. We're the Methodist campus ministry there, and we're a discipleship community where Jesus is the center, Scripture's the authority as we try to reach and serve a campus of 22,000 students. Thank you for being a part of that. We're honored that your church would be a part of the work that we're doing there through your support. It's just a treat to be here to see you and to be in worship and to share together this morning. Thanks for the scripture reading there, and may I just touch back on two verses from verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And then the way the chapter ends, rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. A word of prayer together. God, it is our desire that all glory would be to You. So may You be honored and glorified by the way Your grace grows good stuff in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we trust and pray. Amen. So right here in this verse, there are three words that stand out as if they're in bold print. And those three words are everything you need. In verse 3, everything you need. Every single thing you need for the life that God leads you to live has been given by His divine power. So we don't always live like we have every single thing that we need to live the life God's called us to live. But what if you really did have every single thing that you need to get unstuck from what holds you back, to get out of what has you bogged down, and to grow in all the ways that God imagines for you and me to grow, to grow and to thrive and to flourish and to flow with the fullness of the Holy Spirit? What if you had everything you need to do that? Well, it says we do. Everything you need is this audacious three-word promise that we find that paves the way from where we are to what it says in verse 11, our grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus. Now, that's worth taking a deeper look. So let's think about this together this morning. But first, the painted turtles. I recently learned how painted turtles survive the cold, cold winter. Painted turtles, being reptiles, ectotherms, cold-blooded animals, they're subject to problems when it gets really cold. And in the really cold extremes, like in Canada, in places like that where winter is just totally frozen, painted turtles survive by doing what's called brood mating. In brood mating, it's kind of like hibernating, but it's the reptile version of hibernating. So painted turtles brumate by burrowing down in the mud at the bottom of the pond. And their heart rate slows to nearly nothing, only an occasional beat. They don't breathe. They just absorb oxygen from the water around. They don't eat. They're just hanging in this suspended existence, waiting for the warmth of spring to arrive. But when temperatures hit around 60 degrees, that triggers something. Heart begins to beat again. They begin to breathe. They begin to eat. They launch into another year of life and life cycle. Now, I tell you that to tell you that in case you've been spiritually bromating, hibernating, if you're living this cold and frozen existence, if you've lost your heartbeat, if you feel like you're living this existence that's just kind of suspended in time, then good news. Good news. It's springtime for your soul. And Peter urges us to wake up, to thaw out our hearts, to defrost our frozen souls, to do what living things do. That is grow. To do what people who are alive in Christ do. And that is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the painted turtles recently sprang back to life, and then along came the cicadas. Now, we're from North Mississippi, and the cicadas were there in force. I don't think they made it this far south. But this was an unusual year for cicadas, as two broods emerged the same year. One's a 13-year brood. They only come out once every 13 years. The other is a 17-year brood. They only come out once every 17 years. But this year, 2024, they overlapped, and they both showed up at the same time and had this big old cicada family reunion, a big get-together, and it was loud. They're noisy, and it was just striking how loud the cicadas have been. But what patient creatures. They just wait 13 years, 17 years to come to life, to emerge, to have their few noisy weeks of life. And then they lay their eggs, and the screechy song becomes silence, and their offspring wait 13 years, 17 years for their opportunity to come to life and to live again. Well, here's some more really good news. We are not stuck in a cicada life cycle. We don't have to wait around to come to life. In fact, the world needs us to come to life. The world needs the song that we have to sing. It's time for us. It's time for you to emerge from your burrowed brooding and come to life. It's time, and it's possible, because His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You see, growing in grace is our response to this everything we need part. We can grow in grace as a response to everything we need. We see in this passage that Jesus gives us everything that we need, and then He invites us to live out His promises, powered by His grace. So Jesus invites each of us, starting right where we are, starting right where you are, especially if you feel buried or burrowed or bogged down or brumating. Jesus invites all of us to start right where we are and to grow in His grace. So where are you buried? Where are you bogged down? And how did that even come to be in the first place? Sometimes we get buried and bogged down when something traumatic happens, and it's kind of like this whole reality of spiritual growth in life just kind of gets put on hold. Something really hard can trigger that, can send us into a kind of hibernation. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's maybe we never really started really living and growing in the first place. It's possible to come to faith, to know Jesus, but to never really take seriously the promises that His divine power has given you everything you need to live the life that He's leading you to live. Maybe this is a good time to start. Then sometimes another way we get bogged down is through drift and distraction. Just got experience of just kind of going along doing life, and suddenly before you realize it, you're somewhere other than where you intended to go. You kind of drifted, got distracted. Maybe this is a time to refocus. Or sometimes we get bogged down in self-focus instead of grace focus. Maybe you've been busy growing self instead of growing in grace. This morning, this is a call and an opportunity, because His divine power has given everything that you need to grow in grace. So this passage is just full of good stuff about growing in grace. Let's see what we see. In verse 1, it says that we share Peter's faith. We share Peter's faith. And that's got this bold claim, because this is Peter we're talking about. He had quite a faith. He was there at ground zero with Jesus. But yet Peter says that we share in His faith. Peter says that our faith is of equal standing with His. And that's true, because Peter's faith and our faith depend on everything that's good about God, and they don't depend on Peter or you and me. It says in the passage that it's all because of the justice and fairness of Jesus that we have this faith, that we share in the same faith as Peter. So think about Peter's faith that we share. And I think a valid question is, which Peter? Which Peter's faith do we share? Is it Peter the Rock who became the first pope of the church? Is it Peter the one who made the solid profession, you are the Christ? Or is it the other one? Is it Peter who denied Jesus? Is it Peter who walked on water only to sink in the water because he took his eyes off of Jesus? Be encouraged that by sharing Peter's faith, there's an understanding there that we have ups and downs just like Peter had ups and downs. But here we see Peter with a greater confidence in the gospel because he lived it. He tried it. He tested it. He proved the gospel to be true in his life. Peter was a work in progress with his ups and downs, and so are you and I with our ups and downs. But we share Peter's faith when we're growing like he did. So, hear Peter encourage you from his ups and downs in your own ups and downs to grow in grace. Verse 2 says, more and more grace and peace come to us from growing in the knowledge of Jesus. More and more grace and peace. That just sounds like good stuff that keeps on coming, and who wouldn't want more and more grace and peace? Think about it this way. What's something that you never get enough of? What's something that you always want more and more of? When Linda and I come to the coast, it's seafood that we're after, more and more seafood. And we've done pretty well with that since we got here Friday night. I'm a bulldog, and today my bulldogs, right now, at this very hour, my bulldogs are playing baseball, and what we need is more and more. We need at least two wins to keep the thing going today. And USM is in a similar situation today as well. More and more wins. I grew up in Picayune and cursed, I guess, from birth to be a Saints fan, and I was through the hard years and through the good years, but except for that one year, 2010, when the year ended with a Super Bowl victory, except for that one year, since 1967, in every year of the Saints' existence, we've ended the season wanting what? More wins. We needed one more win. We needed a bunch more wins. That's the reality of being a Saints fan. Whatever is on your list of things that you want more and more of, whatever is on your list, can I just encourage you to move more and more grace and peace ahead of whatever's currently number one? Just go ahead and bump it up to the top of your list. More and more grace and peace, because that's the promise. That's the offer. To verse 3, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Everything we need for living the life God calls us to. Everything we need for getting unstuck from what bogs us down is ours, because it says that God has given that to us. Every single thing we need. This is one of the boldest statements in all of the Bible, I believe. That God gives us everything we need. It has been done. And if this statement is true, and this statement is also true, then this is an open invitation to you and me to open up the needy places in our lives, to open up the weak places, to even open up the ungodly places in your life, to receive the more and more grace and truth, the everything you need to live the life God calls you to live. Verse 4 says that God shares His glowing goodness with us in the form of promises. And it says that these promises flow from God's character. He is so good. He is the good, good Father. These promises are described as great and precious. They are vast and valued. And verse 4 headlines two promises of God that seem to sum up all the rest. The first is this promise that we would share in God's nature. Remember, that's how we were created, to be in the image of God in the first place. But the second is to escape the compromise and corrosion of this world. These two promises headline God's good intentions for our growth and for getting us unstuck, to rescue us from what holds us back, and to remake us and renew us to what he intends for us to be. More on how we grow in grace. In verse 5, growth happens by taking God up on his promises. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. That phrase, respond to God's promises, that's how you grow in grace, by responding, by taking God up on his promises. You see, spiritual growth is never about your achievements or your accomplishments or your attainments. Spiritual growth is always about knowing Jesus and growing in the grace that he has to give. So here's growth. Growth happens when you know Jesus well enough to know his promises and to know that he's got what it takes to back up his promises, and then you trust your fate to his promises. That's how growth happens. So this morning, would you activate those two headline promises back in verse 4 by trusting him to renew in you his very image, by trusting him to rescue you from corruption and corrosion? You see, growth happens by taking God up on his promises. And then verses 5 through 7, it's like the "but wait, there's more" section of the passage. It says, make every effort to grow by responding to God's promises. And here are some more of these promises that you need to act on and experience. It says, grow by supplying your faith with moral excellence and knowledge and self-control. And the list goes on. Now be careful to see this not as a checklist or a to-do list. Remember, this is a list of promises. Remember that his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And here's the packing list. These characteristics that are promises of God that would grow in one who grows in the grace of Jesus. As you read the list, though, do be careful. Avoid justifying yourself about the ones that you're lacking in by being so proud of the ones that you feel pretty good about. This list is not about what you're doing, but it's about how God's promises to you and in you are unfolding. So where you see fruit, thank God. Where you need fruit, ask God, because everything you need has been given. To verse 8, more on growing in grace. It says, the more you know, the more you grow, and the more productive your life will be for the kingdom. The more you know, the more you will grow, and the more productive your life will be for your kingdom. This takes me back to 34 years ago when Linda and I were packing up and moving from Wilmore, Kentucky. Two seminary graduates loaded up, headed back home to Mississippi to do ministry. And our little nearly 90-year-old lady, neighbor lady, encouraged us, sent us off with the last verse from 2 Peter. She told us, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. She knew that what we needed more than anything was to continue growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and that in that way, life would be fruitful and productive. Ms. Tipton coached us with those sending words, and she said it, Peter said it, and I'll say it to you again, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. The choice to grow is not your only option. But it says here that someone who doesn't grow apparently is blind to God's promises that started with the one big epic promise of forgiveness and cleansing of our sins. You see, continued growth is inevitable for one who knows their sins have been forgiven and that God has more in store. Another way to put it is this, that our cleansing creates capacity for God to do something more and fruitful and productive in us and through us. Our cleansing creates capacity for that. A word of challenge here in verse 10. Work hard to grow in grace. You see, growing in grace and working hard are not mutually exclusive concepts. It just may be that growing in grace is the hardest job you'll ever love. And the part about being called and chosen, we're called to know and to experience God through His chosen one, Jesus. And being elect means that we become chosen when we belong to Jesus by trusting faith in Him. So verse 11 brings it home. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, growth in grace leads to what it calls a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom. But what's so grand is not you or me finally arriving there. What's so grand is the epic celebration that happens when one who is as lost as you are is rescued by one as wonderful as Jesus. That's what's so epic. That's what's so grand. The grandness of our entrance is all about the grandness of the Savior. And so all our years, we have the amazing privilege to grow toward that grand entrance by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So friends, this morning I'd say to you that wherever you are buried or burrowed or bogged down or brewmating, wherever you are suspended in this timeless existence, wherever you feel frozen, wherever your heart has nearly stopped its beat, and that's exactly where you can grow in knowing Jesus. That's exactly where you can experience everything you need for that particular need in your life. So where are you stuck? What's yours to grow out of today? Is there a promise of God that you'd like to take Him up on? Is there a weakness somewhere in you that you'd like to know His strength? Is there anything about you that you want to be more like Jesus? Open that up and bring that to Him. And this morning, as we celebrate Holy Communion, remember that we are celebrating and receiving from the One who has given you everything you need. Literally, as you receive the bread and the wine, you are receiving the grace of Jesus that is, bottom line, everything you need. So would you open up? Would you open up your life to the grace of Jesus? Would you open up your life for Him to occupy your emptiness and to fill you full of everything you need? All glory to Him, now and forever. Amen.